Chris was reading the text this morning, and I'm sure that you were, I'd like for you to draw attention to that last verse that he read, verse 5. Paul is saying, I didn't come to you with fancy words. I didn't come to you with man's logic. No Aristotelian syllogisms, no fancy forms of verbal footwork as I was dancing around trying to impress you. He says, I didn't come with any of that excellency of speech or human wisdom, but I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And he said, I did this that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that really is the point. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Folks, it is amazing what people will believe. I kid you not, at the things that people will believe. Have you ever stood in line at the grocery store and noticed some of the headlines? Elvis is alive on Mars. Have you noticed some of these things? Well, here are some actual headlines that you may or may not have seen in the grocery store that were actually on some of these tabloids. Dinosaurs honked like Buicks. Can you believe that? Mom followed a diet of eating only chicken, Lay's huge egg. Jesus action figure heals the sick. Man gives birth to healthy baby boy. Husband's bad breath kills his wife. That may actually happen. Farmer shoots 23-pound grasshopper. Oh, some of y'all may believe that, huh? Okay. Computer virus spreads to humans. And the last one is my favorite. Severed leg hops to hospital. What? I cannot accept that anybody on the planet would believe these things, but some people do. And then, of course, we have Ripley's Believe It or Not, you know. Faye and I actually knew a man in Hackleburg. Faye, you don't tell him who it was. We knew a man in Hackleburg who actually believed that daytime soap operas were actually happening as he was watching them on TV. Yes. Some people just have a lot of faith in what they see and what they think they know to be true. The Bible is a book about faith. That's as basic as it can get. It is a book about faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Without faith, there is no grace. Are you following? Without faith, there is no grace. Now, I want you to think about this. The only sin, I want you to think back now, you Bible scholars, think back. The only sin that Jesus specifically rebuked the disciples for was a lack of faith. Think about it. Every time he specifically rebuked them for a particular sin, it was lack of faith. Faith has been rejected by the pagan world. They loved knowledge. They worshiped knowledge. And it is still much the same way with the world today. And I fear it is the same in the church to some degree, that we worship knowledge. I hear people talk about we've come to worship the Word, and they are referring to the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not worship the Bible. We worship God. We do not serve the Bible. We serve God. Let us never make that mistake. Let us never be that confused. It is God who rules our life, and He has given us the Bible as our guide, as the owner's manual, as the instruction book, as the roadmap to come to Him. And it's all about faith. All right, so an elderly lady, she was terribly disturbed by her many troubles. She had lots of problems. Some were real, some were imagined. You know how that is. Finally, her family, they were kind, but they were firm. They told her, Grandma, We've done all we can do for you. You'll just have to trust God for the rest. And a look of despair came across her face as she replied, "Oh dear, has it come to that? Has it come to that?" Brethren, it always comes to that. You have to trust God for all things. We might as well begin with that if it's going to come to that, because it does. Brethren, salvation is supposed to be about faith. But we ask the question, and some of you are guilty of this, and so am I. Does he know enough to be baptized? That's the wrong question. Nobody seems to ever ask, does he believe enough to be baptized? Does he believe enough? Does he have enough faith? That's the real issue. We are amazed when a gospel preacher leaves his family and goes off with another woman. How could a man with such Bible knowledge do something like that? We're impressed by how many scriptures someone may have memorized and can quote. But the truth is, all the Bible one really has is what he lives. I repeat that. All the Bible a person really has is what he lives. That's all he's got. Here's the truth. You know it. If you don't live it, you don't really have it. You may know stuff, but that doesn't mean you live it. You may know truths from Scripture, but do you follow those truths? Do those truths regulate and control your life? The Bible is for faith, not merely knowledge. Throughout history, some of the great Bible scholars turned out to be atheists, didn't even believe in God, but they knew the Bible better than most. We often will rate our preachers, our teachers, and our elders more on their Bible knowledge than we do on their faith. That's a big mistake. Someone will certainly quote Romans 10:17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's right, but the verse even tells you what the purpose is for the word of God. The purpose for the word of God is to build faith. That's the purpose. It says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The whole point of it is exposure to God's word. Looking at the evidence builds faith. It builds trust in God. And that's what is severely lacking with too many people today, including members of the Lord's church, that are lacking in faith. We emphasize knowledge, and we should, because you can't follow what you don't know. You can't have faith in what you don't know. You can't believe what you do not know, what you do not understand, certainly. So we need to emphasize knowledge. But the most important issue is faith. So someone walks away from his family. Someone who was an excellent Bible teacher leaves the church and takes up Sundays at the altar of entertainment. A family who never missed has drifted to the point that they are never here. Why? Brethren, I can assure you it is not because they forgot what they knew. It is because they do not have faith. That's why. If people have faith in God, they show up. They show up for church. If people have faith in God, they open God's book and they want to see what God has to say. If people have faith in God, they open their hearts and their mouths and they pray to God. If people have faith in God, they live by the book. And they serve, and they work, and they try to bring others to Christ, and they try to do good to all men, and they try to be a good example all the time, not just on Sunday, but all the time. If we have faith, then we will follow. I want to recommend something. 66th last week. Now, Gary's not here today, so the numbers didn't get changed. That's last week's numbers. 66 for Bible class, 117 for worship. I want to say something to the... I got my shoes on. I can't do the math. I have to take my shoes off to do that math. But I want to say something to those that were not here for Bible class. Bless yourself by not sleeping in on Sunday morning. Get up early and rejoice. Take in a Sunday morning. Take in a beautiful Sunday morning and get your mind focused on serving the Lord. Get your mind focused on worshiping God. Get your mind focused on praising Him. And come to Bible class. You'd be amazed how wonderful it is to just sit in Bible class, to have a great lesson, to enjoy a conversation, to just have a relaxed atmosphere, and then it's such an easy transition. There's no hectic, there's no helter-skelter, there's no confusion, there's no panic trying to get to the building on time. But if you just go ahead and get up on Sunday morning and don't be sleeping in on Sunday morning, that's not a time to sleep in. You're a Christian. You're dedicated to serving God. Get up. Come on to Bible class. It'll do you good. And it'll do us good, too, to see you. I would challenge you that our attendance for our worship should be about the same as what our Bible class is and reverse. It should be about the same. Now, I realize there are exceptions. I realize there are some. Double L had to get up and leave. He didn't. He stayed for the Lord's Supper. He had to get up and leave. Double L is in pain all the time. All the time. And he can take it. He can sit for a while, and then he's got to get up and move. He can't sit still. I understand that. There are situations like Sister Faye. There is no way Faye can come and sit in that chair for 2 hours. She can't do it. So I understand that. There's exceptions to that. If your health permits, that's one thing. If your health does not permit, by all means, just come for morning worship when you can, and God bless you. You know, nobody's trying to pressure you or guilt you, but I'm just saying you can bless yourself and bless all of us. But go ahead, get up early on Sunday morning. Don't sleep in. Yeah, we're going to eat Patrick alive. Patrick said, I forgot it was Sunday. He went to bed late. Oh, we're going to eat him alive this afternoon. But I mean, there's just so many that just, they don't think about it. Plan your Saturday morning. Do what you got to do on Saturday. Enjoy the day. But then plan Sunday morning. I'm going to get up early enough, enjoy a more casual, relaxed morning, and get to church. And then when service starts, when worship starts, you're here, and it's just, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith we understand. That's the key in that passage. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. You know, the kind of faith that Jesus wants us to have is a faith that overcomes fear and doubt. It is a faith that trusts God in spite of what our eyes may see. In 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? As we said last Sunday night from Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Faith will cause us to bow down before our God. Faith will make us stand erect before men. Faith will make us stand firm against sin. By faith we live. Romans 1:17. By faith we stand. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24. By faith we walk.
and not by sight.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. By faith we fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6, verse 2. By faith we overcome. 1 John 5, verse 4. And by faith we are justified. Romans 3, 28. And finally, by faith we have access to God's grace. Romans 5 and verse 2. Now please understand that knowledge is extremely important. Without knowledge, there can be no genuine faith. That is a fact. Faith comes from a careful examination of the evidence that God has left us. Faith is the natural byproduct of understanding God's word, God's message. Real, profound, life-changing faith is the goal of Bible knowledge. But you don't obey a doctrine. You don't pray to a proverb. And you don't walk by scripture and not by sight. You walk by faith and not by sight. We obey the doctrines because it's God's doctrine, but we're obeying God. And we're praying to God. And we're walking with God. It is ultimately the fact that one trusts God beyond what he may know and what he may understand. And the reason you can do that is because you have faith that is based on God's word. The faith is not in God's word. The faith is in God. Let me tell you something, folks. Doubt puts our circumstances between us and God. Can you see that? Doubt puts our circumstances between us and God. Faith puts God between us and our circumstances. I think that's a better choice, don't you? Having God standing between you and your troubles, having God standing between you and death, having God standing between you and your enemies, having God standing between you and the things that are troubling and burdening you, the worries, the fears, the doubts that you have, having God standing between you and those things, that's where you want to be. And you have faith, and it will put God between you and whatever opposes you by having faith. Jesus said it clearly, and he said it simply in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. But you know, to do that, I have to trust God with everything. No holding back. No holding back. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help in ways that were my own. Finally, I took them back and said, "Dear God, why are you so slow?" "My child," he said, "what could I do? You never did let go. You never did let go." One final point this morning. Faith will cause you to do something. Faith will cause you to do something. We don't want to give the impression that it's faith alone, that that's the only thing that matters. We don't want to give that impression. Faith will cause you to do something. It'll cause you to change things. It'll cause you to be different. Faith will cause you to act. Faith will not cause you to sit down and do nothing. But faith will cause you to get up and go. Faith will cause you to do the things that God tells you to do. Faith will call upon you to turn away from the things that are wrong and to do the things that are right. Faith will demand that you do something. Galatians 2 and 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ living in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul said, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. That takes faith. The Word of God is the only thing which will build faith. It also directs faith in what it should do and how one should live. Without obedience, brothers and sisters, there is no faith. And if there is no faith, there is no grace. And if there is no grace, there is no salvation. You've got to have faith. And that's the whole point of what it is to be a Christian. A simple, childlike, trusting, obedient faith will change me. And it will change the world around me. But you got to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you want to be rewarded? Then diligently seek God. Put your faith and your trust in him, not in your circumstances. As Jim McGuigan used to say, doubt your doubts and put your trust in God. So consider your life, consider your relationship with the Lord. If you're not right with God today, if you're not ready to meet God today, then do what you need to do to make things right with him. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Then repent. As we talked about in class this morning, turn away from sin and commit your life to the service of God. If you're already one of his people, but you've not been faithful to him, come back to him. I got ahead of myself. Repent and then be baptized for remission of your sins. You've got to put on the blood. You've got to put on Christ in baptism. You have to be buried and washed in the blood of Jesus for your sins to be taken away. You've got to obey the gospel. You've got to be born again of water and the Spirit, and that's what that's all about. Baptism is the culminating act that begins with faith. So put your faith in God, repent of sin, confess your faith, be baptized for remission of sins. And then if you've already done that, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, rededicate yourself to him. Recommit to him today. That's one big reason why we take the Lord's Supper every week. It's a moment of recommittal to God. Of recommittal because of what Jesus did for us. So consider your life. Consider your relationship with God. If you need to make changes, make them today. And if there's a way we can help you, then come as we stand and sing.